church been? It's where I found Jesus, where I wrecked my first car. I tore it all to pieces.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Tuesday morning, 34 minutes after the hour. And by the way, you want to respond to anything we were discussing, 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line if you would like to react. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Always grateful that he makes time for this program. Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon on the line with us. Mayor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me again.
Hey, thanks for making time. Let's get right into it. I saw the story. I saw the release. Obviously disappointment. The National Shrimp Festival over in Gulf Shores canceled. But you're attempting to offer an alternative here because, you know, a lot of vendors are losing out and then they make their livelihood. And you're taking a different approach here, and talk us a little, walk us through this, and what you think, how do you think this is going to, or how this is, how you're planning on this to work out?
Yeah, well, we've worked with the wharf, and we're going to do something for sure on the Saturday. I think that's the 9th of the Shrimp Festival, and maybe even the Friday before. We're still working through the details. Obviously, it's a short time frame, but we're going to pull it off one way or the other. I don't know how big it'll be, but for me, it's just about making a statement that we're not shutting down. And we're not giving in to this COVID thing. You know, I think the Shrimp Festival has been around 49 years, and it deserves better than to be canceled. But, you know, the Chamber had a legitimate concern. They had a lot of volunteers needed because it's a large production, and a good number of those are over 65 and were concerned. And I can't fault that at all, you know. I wish we had been at the table to discuss it because I would have offered up our help, and again, a reduced or some type of scaled-down event. But for me, it's just something that's got to go on in some capacity, and we're going to make it happen.
Well, and it occurs to me, I mean, like, if you're one of these people that are perceived vulnerable to the virus, I mean, no one is forcing you to be there. That's what was a little confusing to me, that we were, you know, you understood that, yeah, it is risky, but we're going to just cancel it and not give people the option, at least?
Yeah, it was disappointing. And like I said, I wish I had been, you know, people I think know me well enough to know that if it affects Orange Beach, then I need to be at the table to at least offer a solution. I may not win out, but I need to be at the discussion. And I wasn't. And I think that's what spurred me to make sure that we did something. But, you know, the more I got into it, and especially after I made my announcement, the number of people that came forward and were excited about it from both perspective of it being an economic factor. It was just that, hey, we appreciate, let's take a stand. And I made the statement, Freedom Fest, just as a tongue-in-cheek, but it sort of caught on and took off. So I think that's what we're going to stay with this year. Next year we'll do something different. But, you know, you've heard me say it over and over and over. The virus is deadly. It's real. But in my mind, the crisis is manufactured. And it's up to us to stop it. And let's get back to living. And if you're at risk, take the appropriate measures to protect yourself.
So Freedom Fest, you think that is going to be what you're going to call this?
I think so. I think it's just the fact that we have the freedom to come and go and do as we please. And I'm not going to have anybody dictating to me personally where I go and what I do. You know, I just not going to do it. I've made several statements on Facebook and other places, which I don't get on very often. But, you know, I fear the loss of American freedom for my children, their grandchildren, far more than I fear my death from a virus. And I truly mean that. And I think people in America are waking up. You know, we saw the football stadiums on the last two Saturdays, and people are ready to get back to a normal life. But this constant fear-mongering and divisiveness that comes from driving fear, we're the only ones that can stop it. We're the only ones that can stop it. We cannot succumb to that nonsense.
Well, I tell you, Mayor, I think – at face value, we'll call them the alarmist crowd or whatever you want to call them, maybe their objectives are honorable. They don't want more sick people. But what they have done is they have married their approach to politics.
Yes, sir.
And when you do that, you automatically ostracize half the people because we're so polarized. If your deed and your objective is to get people healthy or keep people well and encourage them to get the vaccine, it would behoove them not to make this so overtly political. And when you look at it, and here we are talking about something called Freedom Fest, but Joe Biden says, well, it's not about freedom. But when you do that, you're injecting politics into an ideology, and people are going to reject that out of hand.
I think you're dead on with that. The politicization and the condescending attitude has been so detrimental in a lot of the way we think. I think, I'm pretty sure knows that I'm a conservative and I'm pretty far to the right. But, but I'm also a healthcare worker and have been for 30 years, so I can read a study. So, if you want to talk with me about science, I'm pretty fair-minded. If you've got science that's going to prove to me something's going to actually do me good and make me better, I'm not going to cut my nose to spite my face because I'm a conservative. But you haven't shown me that in some ways. I go back. I don't say the vaccine is worthless, but when I hear people tout that there's no real side effects and there's nothing to fear long-term, well, that's just not true. We know that's not true. So that makes it difficult to believe anything that's being said. And, we can go through that over and over and over and over, all the numbers and the weaponizing of compromising of the CDC, but the bottom line is it's common sense. The COVID's not going away. If it's not this variant, it's going to be another variant. And the minute we vaccinate everybody, it's going to be a different type of incubation of variants that's going to spread. And, we just got to learn to live with it. And the best thing you do is get in shape and eat right. That's the best protection,
Well, do you think that, left of center ideology is wanting to just dictate that here's the problem. You're just telling people what to do, and you're not giving them the benefit of the doubt that they could understand the science that, explain to me this aspect. Give me the data. Oh, don't worry about that. Just take the shot. We'll worry about that for you. And that, whatever you think of that approach, it's going to raise red flags among the population.
It is, and it's going to raise flags around the independent thinking individuals anyway. I don't know. I've never been the kind of person that wants somebody to think for me. Somebody was making fun of those of us that say, hey, I did my own research. Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do your own research. And I think it behooves everyone to do their own research because everything is politicized. The media is politicized, and like I said last time I was on your show, I don't know what to believe. Just this morning there was a story that came out that said that as much as half of the COVID deaths positives could have been not necessarily whether it was incidental to or the cause of the death or positive. And, that's just confusing. So then you take away half of the numbers, well, that changes the whole picture of what COVID is doing to our country, Diabetes and obesity is a true epidemic. It will break the healthcare system long before COVID will. But nobody's talking about that. Nobody's outlawing fast foods because there's nothing to gain politically in that. That's the kind of thing that bothers me.
And here's why I think it drives it back home to you as a mayor that your economy is distinct from others in the state, others in the region, that it is so, very service-based, hospitality-based. And when we start talking about some of these measures that a lot of people in the institutional left want to take, it starts hitting your bottom line. Did they seem to be either ignorant are just they could care less about the consequences of some of these policies?
Yeah, in the absence of logic and reason, there's generally always a selfish agenda or it's ideology driven. And ideology when it's driven in such a way that it is the means. Ends always justify the means.
Right.
And that's what concerns me here. Is this is ideology. This is something nefarious that bothers me. I don't care what people say. There's something going on here that doesn't make sense. When my government is more angry with me about whether I take a vaccine or not than they are with China, who created it and spread it all over the world, that puts a pit in my stomach and makes me wonder, all right, wait a minute, now what's going on here? And China, they're watching how we react to this. There's no doubt in my mind. They see, and if they see us crumble, they know what an easy weakness for us is. It's just very concerning all the way across the board that this has turned into something that is much more than just a virus.
Well, what do you think about this approach? Now, I don't know how many employers you have that employ more than 100 people, but the Biden administration using OSHA as an avenue to force people's hand to either get vaccinated or you're going to have to do the old nose swab, negative test weekly. Why do you make of that approach by the feds?
Why do you make that approach? I'm sorry, you broke up on me.
What do you make of the approach by the federal government to require employers with 100 or more employees to either get the vaccine, make their employees get the vaccine,
right,
or be subjected to a weekly COVID test?
Well, go beyond that. It's like, why 100 employees? Why not 99 or 500? Or what does that matter? Secondly, then why all of a sudden are you exempting teachers? You're exempting the postal workers. I mean, when I see things of that nature, then I know that this is subversive. There is no sense to it. You know, if the vaccine works, then if you're vaccinated, then you shouldn't have to worry about those that aren't because you're protected. If the vaccine doesn't work, then why are you forcing anybody to get it? It's a conundrum that I don't understand. I know that for me, I don't have the constitutional right to tell somebody to get a vaccine. So I don't know as mayor that I'm ever going to force anybody. I don't care if they work for me, and I don't care what it says. I don't see myself telling one of my employees, "You've got to get a vaccine." I don't know how I could do that, and I don't know what right I would have to do that. I would never ever get in the way of somebody getting a vaccine, and we make it available to them at no cost. If they want it, all they got to do is say, "We'll make sure that happens." But I can't even imagine trying to make one of my employees get a vaccine. That's just not going to happen.
Joined by Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon here on the program. Kind of moving on, but tangentially related as well. Here it is. We're post-Labor Day. Kind of give us a retrospective, if you will. How it seemed very – people were – this year were ready to go on vacation, go to the beach. It seemed very busy every time I would go down that way.
Jeff, it was an unbelievable year. It was record year. I mean, it's still going. I mean, we're in a record number this time of year. Now, some of that has to do, obviously, with Hurricane Ida. We've got a lot of displaced Louisianans that are over here and going to be here a while, I guess. But the year was just unbelievable. We just had no problems with people complaining about anything to do with COVID. It was just they were here. They wanted to forget. They were enjoying themselves, and we welcomed them. And we actually all had a really good summer. But there's one other thought. You know, there was this story and this going around that we were a hot spot down here. And this is what happens when you play with raw numbers. You know, Baldwin County has a population, I think, around 250,000 people, something like that. And we got ICU beds and hospitals to pretty much match. And so we started having all these COVID positives. Well, we also had 6.8 million people down here. So they didn't adjust for the fact that we weren't just the number of beds for 250. We were that many number of beds for 6.8 million. So, and a significant number of those positives and those with COVID that went down as being Baldwin County were actually visitors that were going back home. So it really goes to show how these things can be thrown so out of whack very easily by just throwing out raw numbers without anybody researching or explaining them, you know?
Well, let me ask you on that note then. do you need more hospital capacity? Do you think that would just given the population that comes to visit, that you could in the future need to be better prepared in those circumstances?
I do, and I think I know South Baldwin is expanding and planning on building a new hospital. We're all adjusting because we're growing so fast. I mean, it's hard to stay out in front of it. And again, I my concern too is I always wondered if we know we've got a COVID issue and it's going to continue to cycle through over and over and over again. I hear so many different versions of what's coming in the future. Then I would think a lot of those billions and billions and billions of dollars the government has thrown out there should be going toward enlarging ICU floors and ventilators or whatever. But they don't. It goes for everything else, it seems like, except what really works. But we do know that we've got the therapeutics, the Regeneron and the Monoclast facilities popping up, and they have made a huge difference in reducing the number of deaths. So we know that's working. The front-end therapeutic care is really making a difference in the overall number of deaths. And then when you look at the deaths, I think 78% of all deaths, they're obese with diabetes. That's pretty much been documented. So I think we're getting a handle on it. I think if the government would leave us alone, I think we could figure this thing out and fix it. But, that's just one man's opinion.
Mayor, we got to leave it there, but you're always very kind to come on the program, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Well, buddy, I'm always here. And if you need anything, and I look forward to come down here and eat lunch with me.
Absolutely. Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon on the program. Let's get a quick break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.